I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Five o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in just after 5 o'clock at SNL, Souk Nemec Lynch Edition. We're going to do these Mondays and Thursday while Rob is out finding himself. My brother, we're going to do a Souks of Hazzard Edition. In fact, he'll be in on Monday. We're normally going to do Mondays and Thursdays, the SNL editions. My brother has the day off so he can step in, so we'll do Souks of Hazzard. And so we'll kind of piece this together, and then me and Lynch will do some solo shows a little bit for the month of December, and then
that's when we're supposed to do our little food taste next Monday when your brother's in.
Yes,
so he can go ahead and agree with you and yell at me that Panda Express is good.
Well, I can't have Nemec in here when we do it because he's so anti Panda Express.
It makes me sick.
Panda Express makes you
sick. I get a stomachache bad. McDonald's and Panda.
Are you a fancy lad when it comes to food?
I must be.
Well, is it like all fast food or just like those? Because fast food in general isn't. No one ever eats fast food and is like, that's a great decision. I feel wonderful.
I, in the last 2 years, have developed allergies / stomach issues. I cannot drink beer. My throat closes up. If it's like an IPA, if it's a light beer, I'm good. Anything, my throat closes up completely. I have
is
like allergies.
Real or
yeah, it's real. No,
my
real.
Brother,
I would love to drink beer.
My brother claims
wine.
A lot of this stuff.
No, real.
Like he claims he's allergic to vegetables, but in reality
well,
he's
different.
Just fat and he doesn't want to eat vegetables.
And I can't eat red meat.
Really?
I've even accidentally tested this where somebody said I had like shredded chicken in something and I had a few bites of it before I realized, no, this is probably red meat. And I got really sick for like 2 days. I red meat makes me sick.
Huh. And like this is all days. Fairly recent, huh?
Within the last couple of years, yeah.
It is weird. Like
it sucks.
You read more and more, because that does suck.
Red meat? That's a lot of the best foods.
Yeah, you read through all this stuff, though, and gut health has such a big deal to do with our general health. And have you tried any like the probiotics or like different stuff like that to try to kind of help out?
I haven't, and that's probably where I'm headed, but it's not the end of the world to cut out red meat and beer.
No,
I've been healthier.
Well, you're not going to get the gout.
Right, so I'm kind of okay with it. I've come to terms with it. I'm not okay with it. I miss steak. I miss ribs.
You should try You should try different probiotics. Because I will tell you, like I have certain things that I don't handle very well. The difference is I don't stop. Like I'm lactose intolerant and I say, screw you, dairy. You are not going to prevent me from eating what I want. And it is a well-known fact that if I have cheese, if I have milk, especially like I love ice cream. Look, you've got about a 15 minute clock. Like, and it's one of those big like 24 hour like red doomsday clocks. Something's about to happen. I just don't care. I just deal with it.
But how long are you sick for? See, like my stomach hurts for 2 days.
Oh no. Mine's just like, I just have to go upstairs and take care of business.
Different.
Yeah. If I'm out and about, like if I'm in the woods and someone hands me an ice cream cone, I'm like, this is a terrible idea. But as long as I'm
live dangerous.
Yeah. As long
live
as I'm
moss.
Close to like the home base or whatever, or proper facilities, we're going to be okay. But I do have some like emergency sort of situations where I'm like, you need to pull over and you need to pull over now. But I started taking probiotics like, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it makes a huge difference. Okay. I'm not going to say that it's perfect, but it has made a big, big difference. But you can go down a huge rabbit hole with, you know, you can, if you start Googling stuff, you'll find people that are like, you need to cut out like everything over here. And then these people say, no, it's like any sort of fitness program or nutrition program. There's like 9 million people that will swear that their way is the way to do it. So it's just kind of like a hunt and peck. But that sucks. Like if you can't eat red meat or, you know, beer's probably not that big a deal, but
beer's not that big. I mean, for me, beer's not that big a deal. I don't drink that often. And honestly, if you're going to drink, I don't mind having wine for like dinner type situations. And if I'm going to drink, oh, darn, I'm going to have liquor. You know, like, oh, bummer. I mean,
yeah, that's... liquor doesn't do anything to you, right? Well, no.
I'm all good pounding liquor.
Yeah,
it's got to be the hops in it that I'm allergic to that closes up my throat. Yeah, maybe
you got some sort of gluten thing. How do you handle muffins?
No problem with gluten. I'm not one of those gluten people. That's not a diet, by the way. If your whole thing is like, I'm going to cut gluten.
You kind of look like a gluten guy.
You know?
You look like someone that would be like anti-gluten. I can see that coming from you.
Between boy banged... and you look like a gluten guy. I'm really upset with you today.
You're wearing flannel.
You want me to come in twice a week.
I'm just saying.
And then on the flip side, you want to call me boy banged and say I look like a gluten guy. Deeply hurtful.
You've got a flannel on.
The Jason Stachanik experience.
You've got Bama bangs, and you can't eat. You can't drink beer or eat red meat.
I know it's bad. It's getting ugly really quickly, isn't it? It's spiraling out of control.
Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
See, now people are chiming in. That red meat allergy sounds like a tick bite.
Oh, here we go.
You start looking it up. You're like, oh, God, now I've got ticks. Now you've got Lyme disease. Major League Baseball has shadow men now. The lockout officially began yesterday at I guess it would have been today at midnight, Thursday, 12 o'clock. They went into the official lockout for Major League Baseball. And the most petty thing is Major League Baseball removed all images of players from their website. So whenever you look up a player's card or their stats or whatever, there's just that weird gray shadow guy on there now.
For just a little while, and I don't know if they fixed it, Buster Posey for some reason wasn't blocked out.
He was the one guy.
And I don't know if he's a scab
I think it's because he retired. He's allowed to be on there.
How awesome is that? Buster's hey, I'm gone.
Because he was still on the roster technically, probably because they haven't updated it, but
you're
right.
I feel like that is probably why.
I feel like they should
take
everyone now and just add retire players. Like instead of Pete Alonso, it's just Tim Tuffle. Just start adding random X players.
Oh, the Mariners have Joey Cora at second base.
That'd be pretty funny.
What's happening with Brett Boone?
Dan Wilson?
Blazers are in action tonight. If you care to go, I was looking on StubHub just a minute ago. Tickets were $6 yesterday to get in. $4 right now for the cheapest seat if you want to go to the Blazers Spurs game. $4.
Dude,
that's
it's so bad right now.
But at $4, you always hear from people that are like, oh, I can't afford to go to a game. Yeah, you can. You can take an entire family right now for $20.
You can see the Dameless Blazers against the Spurs. Who's on the Spurs? I don't know. Tim Duncan's gone.
Oh, they're terrible. But hey, Norm is he's questionable. He may play, but no little.
Well, God, no $4 is worth the lottery ticket. I might see Norman Powell.
Hey, $4 for CJ? That's not a bad. And you're
sitting high.
Yeah, but you can move down, right? There's plenty of room.
I bet there are sticklers about it.
Does anyone? Now, I haven't done this at a Blazer game in a while, but whenever you buy a cheap seat, you never sit in your seat, right? Are you a seat? When I go to a baseball game, I'll sit in nine. I like moving around. Even if I have a decent seat, I kind of explore the studio space. Basketball may be a little bit different, but I don't go to a lot of basketball.
I bet in the COVID
games.
Era, they don't allow that quite as much.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
LeBron has apparently beat COVID.
Speaking of COVID.
Yeah, he talked to Joe Rogan. He's been vaccinated, but he got dinged with a positive test. But he's already been cleared. He's passed a couple negative tests. And plus, it's LeBron James, so whether he did or not, they're going to let him play because... Well, it's LeBron James and it's the Lakers, so apparently COVID does not affect him.
Yeah, he assaulted Isaiah Stewart's face and they let him play. I'm surprised they didn't let him play with COVID. LeBron is one of the biggest punks in the NBA. He's really talented. I'm not a hater in that regard. He's one of the most talented players ever. He does so many crybaby, I got poked in the face, so I'm deeply hurt. I shot that ball and I was seeing three rims. I picked the middle one, jacked it up.
That is a bit ridiculous.
He's just, although he's kind of a clown that
if Isaiah Stewart wanted to fight him, just fight him.
Dude, don't
wait.
That's the thing about the hold me back. Isaiah Stewart in like 30 seconds proved that hold me back completely true. Where, if you really want to fight somebody, 5'7" ref is not holding
exactly.
you back.
Exactly. Go. Toss you want to fight him, go. I thought this was kind of an interesting story. Did you see now that with the lawsuit, Oregon athletes now will not be required to be weighed or have their body percent fat checked? Remember, they had that whole thing with the female athletes, and they said that the obsession over that led to eating disorders.
Sure.
So now all Oregon athletes, if they don't want to, they can't be weighed. I just was thinking that from a football perspective, that blew my mind. We were weighed and shamed all the time. And like our body fat percentage, like this just goes to show, by the way, this a good thing. I don't want anyone to have an eating disorder or whatever, but I just blew my mind. I'm just trying to picture my strength and conditioning coach, who was a warm, cuddly sort of guy. So can I get on the scale? Sorry, coach. It's not happening.
It could lead to body image issues.
I'm a little sensitive right now. I'm feeling a little bloated. I had some Panda Express, so I'm going to say no to that. I'm pretty sure that I would have gotten a dumbbell thrown at my head.
Yeah, there are definitely coaches who are not happy about this. Most of them on the football side.
Like, I'm trying to think like Aaron Feld, the duck strength coach.
Yeah.
I understand that this is now the new rule at Oregon. Is anyone on the Oregon football team, or do they have the ability to opt out? Someone tells me that guy's mustache would strangle
you. Go ahead and tell Mario Cristobal you don't want to be held accountable for your body.
Yeah, coach, it's not happening today. No, deciding not. I just feel like that may be implemented differently amongst the Oregon teams. Number one, bit of a slow news day, but Antonio Brown. Everyone was waiting for the Aaron Rodgers, maybe COVID suspension. That didn't come. He got a small fine. Antonio Brown has been suspended 3 games, and they're not going to appeal it. Now, Bruce Arians originally said...
What a hero.
Yeah, Bruce Arians said that this was a non-story because Antonio Brown said he was vaccinated. He produced a card. The Bucs said that they did their due diligence, and this was a non-story. Well, it turns out it's a story because he provided, according to the NFL, a fake vaccination card along with 2 other players, very minor players. One of them's not even on the team anymore. And they got dinged 3 games for this. And now Bruce Arians, of course, is saying that he doesn't want to talk about it.
Did you see the letter from his agent?
Yes.
It's super funny. He's like, he's going to go ahead and take this punishment without appealing because he doesn't want to be a distraction.
Yeah, okay. As opposed to clearing your name. Like,
how about just get vaccinated so that you don't end up missing time at a crucial point in the season?
Can we just admit that Antonio Brown is the biggest jackass in the NFL? And there's a different, let me say that. He's not just a jackass.
Currently playing.
He's a bad
guy. Deshaun Watson would like a word.
See, let me ask you this.
And Big Ben's like, hey, just a second, guys. I'd like to jump into this discussion.
See, that's tough because there's dumbasses and there's bad dudes. Deshaun Watson's a bad guy. But Antonio Brown is a dumbass and a bad guy.
Yeah, he's both.
He's both.
He's both.
So I think he's the biggest dumbass, but I don't think he's the worst guy.
No, he's definitely not the worst guy.
I think that's Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Deshaun Watson, 25, and those are the ones that we know about. I think Antonio Brown he's got a couple of those too.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Neither one of them is winning Man of the Year.
Yeah, if you have one of their jerseys,
burn it.
Feel a little
safely.
Mildly uncomfortable with that. The Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Coors Light. Saturdays are made for football. Crack a Coors Light. Forget about your 9-to-5 and focus on the Ducks 4th-and-1. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment. We will set your DVR coming up for the weekend, including Friday. We got a little game, the Pac-12 title game, and then Joey Harrington will join us at 5:30, break down that game. You've got primetime here on 1080 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Which games should you watch this weekend, and which ones can you miss? Got a honey-do list that you need to fit in without blowing up your sports weekend?
Leave me alone. I'm a happily married man.
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids. Your wife is a disaster. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I will show her this. She will divorce you. You will become my brother forever.
Isaac and Sook are here to make you a domestic hero while you watch exactly what you want. It's time to set your DVR with Isaac and Sook. Served by Laurelwood Public House and Brewery. Bringing great food and award-winning beer to Portland and beyond for 20 years.
Well, this is kind of your final weekend if you are looking to get out of doing stuff with your family. After this, you really don't have any excuses other than...
Well, you'll have a big bowl game weekend here or there coming up.
Can you pull the I'm not doing anything because I need to watch the Poinsettia Bowl? Like, I don't think you can. I think this is kind of it. See, this one, you can do the honey. This matters. This is championship weekend.
Now, see, my wife doesn't really totally get what I do in recruiting because sometimes guys have a top three that also includes Wake Forest or Cincinnati or whatever. So every once in a while, I could be like, one of the kids has a top four that has Notre Dame in it. I've got to watch this game. And she's like, oh, okay.
That works.
It used to a lot better. Now yeah. She kind of like, how come if he picks no, he's not going to be there for like a year, right? And I'm like,
I wonder if you like, cause if you're just a normal dude out there, you're a normal schnook just running around. You just pull the fandom. Like our job allows the, I'm sorry, I can't go anywhere. I pull it all the time. My gal will be like, hey, we're going to go shop. And I'm like, I got this working game. I want to do it, but there's nothing I can do.
Chantel asked me during the last Duck game, have you talked to a lot of the Duck and Beaver players?
Yes.
Like in when they were younger? And I was like, what? Do you know? We're married. Do you know what I do? And she's like, right, but do you like talk to them on the phone and text them? I was like, who do you think I'm on the phone with all the time talking about where they're going?
Your ladies.
She was like, I'm not, I don't know. I don't pay attention. I'm like, clearly, are you kidding me? You don't know if I talk to the recruits? It's like, oh my God.
So championship weekend starts tomorrow. If you want to check out the big Western Kentucky, University of Texas San Antonio tilt. That one is on at 4 o'clock. The Roadrunners were undefeated there for a little bit, but they got knocked off by North Texas last week. So sorry, the Roadrunners, your undefeated run is done. And then right here on the Fan, also ABC, if you care to watch that one on television when you get home, that will be number 10 Oregon versus number 17 Utah. Utah favored by about a field goal in that football.
And even if you have TV, if Rod Gilmore is on the call, feel free to just mute that guy and put it on 1080.
I do love that everyone hates Rod Gilmore.
He
now
is horrific.
Let me just say this. I, too, hate Rod Gilmore, but it has nothing to do with anything he says about Oregon.
Oh,
he just
either.
Is the worst.
He's terrible.
I don't understand how he is a play-by-play guy.
Jonathan Vilma is the worst. He did the Niner game
you
on
think
Sunday.
Vilma's worse than Rod Gilmore?
Yes. He said things like, what a great play, or this was awesome. At one point, he said something along the lines of, even if the Vikings were down 140, they would still want to run the football. That's their identity. It's like, they were down 140. you know what? Don't worry about it.
RG3 is pretty bad too.
Yes, he's really bad.
It's pretty rough. My all-time worst though, Magic Johnson. You're probably too young to remember, but when Magic had
I've seen his tweets.
When Magic had to retire, yes.
I'm familiar with his work.
You take Magic Johnson's tweets and you put them into play-by-play form. It's that bad. And then on Saturday, right off the get-go, 9 a.m., we got Baylor versus Oklahoma State. Huge game there. I think if Oklahoma State wins, I think they're in. I think they'll jump Cincinnati, although both could get in because I assume Alabama's going to lose. But that one is at 9 o'clock on ABC. And then you got Kent State, Northern Illinois, whatever, Utah State, San Diego State. At noon, get one to the matters. There you go. 1 o'clock.
It's not whatever. They're all conference championship games.
Utah State, San Diego State. Does anyone care?
I think I'm sure Oregon some State fans do because I think don't they play the winner in their bowl game more than likely?
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Yeah, because that would be the winner of the Mountain West.
I think that's right, isn't it? That's who they might end up playing in one of their bowl games.
I think there's a good chance they will end up there. So
okay, there you go.
Yeah, and that would be the Vegas Bowl, right?
I think so. Like I said, the Pac-12 bowls after the Rose get real murky and real ugly.
12:30 is App State, Louisiana. That one is actually supposed to be pretty good. Those both high-scoring teams, and they played once before, and App State just was horrible. They turned it over like five or six times, so maybe a bit of a revenge game there. But the big one, 1 o'clock, and this is one, keep an eye on it, Georgia-Alabama, because if Alabama finds a way to beat Georgia, there's two of the four locked up. If Georgia wins, and their favorites, by the way, only the third time since 2008 that Alabama is an underdog, and their biggest underdog since the second year Saban was there, 6.5. So if Georgia wins, Alabama's out, and that opens up the three playoff spots. And then also at 1 o'clock, Houston and Cincinnati, that one on ABC. And then we got the Big Ten title game at 5. That's Michigan-Iowa. Again, keep an eye on that, because if Iowa finds a way to upset that,
and if you're an Oregon fan, one, stop. You're not making the playoff. But if you are an Oregon, root for Georgia. Root for, like, Houston. Root for Baylor.
Root for Iowa.
Root for Iowa. Root for all the higher seeds.
Because then you end up with a bunch of two and three lost
because
teams.
You're going to have chaos. You're rooting for absolute chaos other than Georgia. You do not want Georgia to lose. You want Georgia to beat Alabama and knock Alabama out of it.
And then Pittsburgh, Wake Forest at 5 o'clock. And then your nightcap, for some unknown reason, remember the game got canceled. We got USC at Cal. Whatever. There's your championship weekend. And you're right. Somehow, if you're Oregon and you manage to beat Utah, pray for upsets minus, like you said, Georgia. You need Georgia to win.
It's unlikely, but just if that's what you're doing.
Yeah, if you get everyone, if there's a ton of upsets, why not? And you're a two-loss conference champ, I suppose you got a puncher's chance. But most of the time over the course of the playoff, there has not been a lot of upsets on championship weekend. It usually holds chalk. All right, we come back. Joey Harrington will join us. Two big segments on a football Thursday as opposed to Friday. And we talk about Oregon and Utah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Beyond 1080, the fan.
Well, it is not Friday. It is not a football Friday, but apparently we don't do shows on Friday anymore because last week we didn't have a Friday show with that whole holiday thing. And this Friday, there's a football game going on. So we're going to bump Football Friday to Semi-Football Thursday. And that means Joey Harrington on a Thursday. Joey, is this throwing your whole timing off here, this whole Thursday Joey Harrington thing?
My circadian rhythm is completely on its head. I woke up at like 3:30 in the morning today, and I knew something was off.
Cold sweats.
I couldn't get back to sleep. Just this pounding headache, and but I think that was for other reasons.
Isn't it a terrible feeling, though, when you wake up at like 4 in the morning and you can't go back to bed, and then eventually, you just quit? It'll be like 5:15, 5:30, and you're like, whatever, and then begrudgingly you get up.
See, I do that. I kind of vacillate between that, where I just say screw it and I'm up, or like I'll lay there and like, no, I'm gonna do this. And by the time I finally get like, oh, okay, now I can get back to sleep, the alarm goes off.
Yeah, sleep is one of those things that is very elusive. Like, I don't sleep very well, and I know that it's like terrible for me, but it's just like people that can actually fall asleep and stay asleep for like 7-8 hours, or people like, oh man, I got to sleep in. I don't know what that means. Like I love
sleep. Could you sleep before games?
No, I was never, and my like before games, I was never like super nervous or whatever. I don't know, they're those people that could take naps in stalls and all that. There's like great stories of Marshall Faulk doing that.
Yeah.
Again, that blows my mind.
Yeah, no, I was out like, I slept like a baby.
Really?
The night before games. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just like the week of just grind, and it just go, 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 go. And by the time, and then, you know, I'm thinking of college because, you know, in the NFL, I was too worried about getting my clock cleaned.
Yeah.
In college, like, you know, by the time Friday night came around, I was like, I have seriously done everything that I possibly can. Mm-hmm. There is not a stone I left unturned, and I'm turning in and I'm going to sleep. I sleep like a baby now. Like, so, you know, I said I slept like a baby, but now that phrase, who was the coach who said after they lost the game, he's like, yeah, how'd you do, coach? I said, well, I slept like a baby. And everybody was like, really? He's like, yeah, I woke up every 2 hours and I cried.
That is
the
true.
Coach who just lost a big game, like a Cinderella. Like it wasn't like Butler when they lost in the national championship, but it was something like that.
Yeah. Now I have a hard time even today. Like, I have a hard time shutting my brain down. Like, we would take Ambien to try to get sleep, but I would lay in bed at night, and it's not like I stress over it or that I'm super nervous, but like I said, I can't stop thinking. It was really hard for me to shut my brain down, and I'd be going over assignments, or I did a lot of like, what if this happens or that happens? And I don't know. It's just like that stuff to this day, it can be the most meaningless thing too. It can be a song lyric or a TV show or something that happened 10 years ago, but it gets in my brain and I can't shut it down. Like, I really struggle with that. And when I played, there was always something to think about, no matter how trivial it was. And people always, like I said, it wasn't a nerve thing. It's just, I think my brain is screwed up.
I've got a sports psychologist to introduce you to.
I probably need something like that. Probably need like it's a little late now because I'm 42 and broken down. I needed it when I was 19 and only kind of broken down. But it's weird how, you know, that is becoming more of a normal thing. I mean, some people have pointed to like Russell Wilson struggles lately, and you know, his mental health coach passed away this year, and some people are kind of alluding to that. But man, back when, I don't know about at Oregon or when you're in the NFL, but the idea of sports psychology or anything like that, yeah, that didn't exist back in the day for me.
No, it didn't. And you know, I've talked pretty publicly about my, let's say my journey through the NFL and through mental health and, you know, during my TED talk. But, you know, when I was introduced to a sports psychologist, you know, we had the first one I saw, it was through the suggestion of actually Matt Millen.
Really?
Fantastic guy. I love that guy to death. But we had a preseason game in New England, I think. And
the team flew back, but I had to go fly, or, you know, I had to take a car somewhere else to go see, you know, this guy who happened to be down the road. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, just, hey, you're going to go see Bob from down the street, or we've got somebody in the area that we work with, or, you know, it was, no, like, you're going to see this guy in Boston. And that didn't quite work out. It was, you know, a little bit too, like, sitting on the leather couch and tell me about your feelings, which wasn't exactly what I was going for. But, and even still, it wasn't like, you know, there was this guy in Detroit, not that Ann Arbor is that far away, but the guy I ended up seeing was, you worked for the University of Michigan. So I drive an hour, you know, each way to go see Greg. And, it wasn't something I kept hidden, mm-hmm. but it definitely wasn't something that, was openly talked about, or I felt like I wanted to share.
Yeah.
I mean, things have definitely changed, and I hope they continue to change, because, you know, we can do an entire show on mental health and, and what sports, and especially sports at that level, do to people's psyche.
Yeah. John Howell was a safety with me in Tampa Bay, and he took a year off, to deal with, he was going through some stuff, and I remember that being like, oh my gosh, like, it was a big deal. And publicly, you know, they supported him, but boy, I'll tell you what, behind the scenes, it was, let's just say a different message, right?
Right.
Was being
sent.
It was pretty depressing to read public statements. You know, and this is what, 2002 or whatever it was. And then behind the scenes to hear the way people were talking about him, including, you know, coaches and staff members. But the story I tell all the time, and, you know, when I was a junior, I was dealing with stingers in my neck. If no one's ever, you know, heard of that, it's the most painful thing I've gone through. It's like pinched nerves in your neck. And it just feels like one side of your body's on fire. And this had been going on for about a month, maybe 6 weeks. And I was taking injections in my neck before games to numb it up so that I wouldn't feel it. And it just was awful. It was the worst 6 weeks of my life. And they finally pulled me aside, and the doctor came over and was like, hey, we're concerned you have spinal stenosis, and, you know, we can't keep doing this. Like, there's a chance of paralysis, and you're going to go see someone right now. And I'm, like, getting ready to go out to practice. I'm in pads. Like, I'm in my pants, and ankles are taped, and, you know, I'm getting ready to go to meetings. And they're like, hey, you need to, you know, go get undressed. We're taking you to the hospital. You know, we're going to get an MRI. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah, this, you know, this is, we're not. And I'm like, what have we been doing for 6 weeks? And so now my head's just spinning, you know, and they're saying, hey, may never play again. And I'm on my way to the locker room, and hand to God, this is word for word. My offensive line coach stops me in the hallway and says, you P word. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah. He goes, go ahead. He goes, you'll never play again. Go ahead and let him do that test on you. He's like, you coward. And he shames me in the hallway. And I'm like, what? And he just is like, you disgust me. And then he walks away. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, do I go to practice? Like, he's like, you'll never play for me again. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so I went, and, you know, I ran these tests, and apparently they felt it okay for me to keep going and taking these injections into my neck. And at the end of the year, again, the worst year of my life, he pulled me aside and said, you can thank me later, because I knew that would motivate you. I knew that would get you back on the field. And he was trying to take credit for me being able to play through that. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking to myself, you're the worst human being that I've ever encountered. And I'm telling you, man, for years that messed me up. Like, it was in my kitchen. Oh, and by the way, my neck is still screwed up to this day from all of that. But I mean, the mental toll that played on me was that was tough. And there was no one there to talk to. There was no one there, you know, to, it was just a different world back then.
Yeah. I think people would be surprised for the glamour and the, you know, everything I see on the weekends.
Yeah.
And I've had I won't use names here, but a coach who I very much respected, and worked with another coach from the NFL, and he looked at me and he said, he is without a doubt the worst human being I have ever come across. The game, and maybe I don't say the game makes you do things. That's not necessarily the right way to put it. But the things that people are willing to do and the lengths that people are willing to go to achieve something, and whether that's coaching or playing, and the way they get to those results often have, like you just said, long standing scars. Yeah. But it's not something that people see. And I don't know if it's necessarily what people want to see.
Yeah. And you don't really realize it at the time. You know, I look back at 19-year-old me and I wish I would have been able to sit down as a 42-year-old and say, hey, man, you don't have to deal with that. Like, go tell that guy what he can do with that. And this doesn't define you. But and so when people, you know, when people say that, why didn't you stand up for yourself? It's really hard as a 19, 20, 20.
I'll tell you why you didn't stand up for yourself, because you'd worked so hard to get to that point.
Yeah.
Right. And in that one instance, in one instance, you had to make a decision.
Yeah.
You'd spent 20 years trying to get to exactly where you were. Yeah. And now you're confronted with, I'll call it a moral dilemma, but you know, people don't realize the amount of effort and the amount of work that it takes to, I mean, let alone get to earn a college scholarship, let alone become a starter in college football, or become all conference, or become an all American, or get drafted to the NFL. I mean, each of these little stepping stones is more work than I guarantee the majority of people in this country know how to put in.
Yeah.
I mean, it is excruciating to get to those points, and so then have to make that decision after putting all that effort in. I'll tell you why you didn't make that, because that's a hell of a decision. That's a hell of a tough decision you had to make right there.
Yeah, and it haunts you. And then, you know, ultimately they're like, well, you can play through this, but you know, there's risks, you know, and the risks are paralysis. And you know, it's, and they're putting that decision on a 19 or 20 year old kid after having that. Well, you know, what decision are you going to make? You know, this is one of those reasons, like, why don't people pull themselves out of workouts? Like, oh, the kid died of a, you know, heat exposure. He could have stopped anytime he wanted. I'm like, get out of here with that.
No, couldn't.
No, that kid's not stopping. No one's ever running sprints and says, you know what, I don't feel very good, I'm stopped. It's just not the reality of the environment that's created. It's just not. Hey, that was fun and uplifting. How about this?
Hey, happy Thursday.
How about this? Let's take a break, and when we come back.
Yeah, definitely, let's take a break. Right?
Yeah. Now I'm going to need
to take a break and get a drink.
Take a drink. I'm going to think of rainbows and sunshine, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little Oregon, Utah, though I don't know if that's going to be positive either. Maybe we skip.
I may not be here anymore when you get back. I may just leave. You know what? Screw this guy. I'm getting out of here.
More with Joey Harrington when we come back. You got 10 to the Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, we're back in one more segment. Joey Harrington on a football Thursday. Razzleberry, Frogurt, Sunshine, all ice cream and puppies now. Except when we look back. Except when we look back a couple weeks.
2 weeks ago against Utah, that sucked too.
Right? Like, I think you were a little more concerned. I think me and Rob were both pretty positive. You kind of had the, you know, a little more measured and were worried. I just kind of trusted the physicality of Oregon. Look, it doesn't shock me that they lost. It just shocks me the way it went about. I haven't seen Oregon very often under Cristobal just get punched in the mouth and really not have a response for it.
Well, they didn't have a response on it. You know, I've been thinking, like, you were going to ask me, okay, what do they need to do? Well, what do they need to do? Well, they need to not have that team show up.
Yeah.
The team that showed up again in Salt Lake a couple weeks ago, they need to get rid of that team, because –
they did get punched in the mouth. And they got punched in the mouth on the offensive side of the ball by Utah's defensive front, and they got punched in the mouth on the defensive side of the ball by Utah's offensive line and running game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a mouth punching just over and over and over. And so I'm almost relieved that they got that out of the way, right? If you're going to have to play him again, I would almost rather play him a second time after a mouth punching rather than play him after a close game, yeah, right? Because
yeah, totally get that.
This is just, I mean, it was embarrassing,
yeah,
right? It was an embarrassing game. But here's why I continue to feel positive about it, is because last week was that moment of truth, mm-hmm, right? Was it, and they had a chance to show the country, was that an exposure, right? Did Utah expose who Oregon really is, or was that just a blip and an anomaly? And I think the way that they came out, especially in the first half against Oregon State, showed that that was an anomaly.
Yeah, same, right? Physical type of team, you know, that Utah wants to play in that phone booth. And, you know, they came out and were dominant.
Absolutely. And I think they figured out, you know, Oregon State very similarly had a lot of multiple tight end fronts, right? They used that tight end front that Utah used two weeks prior and absolutely completely changed how they attacked it, how they dealt with it, and completely neutralized it, right? This is the best running attack in the Pac-12. Yeah. Oregon State was better than Utah on the ground coming into that Utah game, and they absolutely lit them up. You know, the key is finding a way, because what Utah did so well is they absolutely neutralized Kayvon. Yeah. Thibodeau was nowhere to be found in the Utah game. And Oregon has to find a way, and whether it, you know, he doesn't have to be making the direct play, but they have to find a way for him to be a factor so that other guys can come in and make the plays. Because for that stretch, when that defense looked so good in the middle of the season, he was wreaking havoc. And against Utah, he disappeared.
Yeah, and I look at the way that Utah runs that, you know, their 12 and 13 personnel with multiple tight ends, and it's almost like equated to playing an option team, because you got blocking angles coming from all over the place. You got tight ends cracking down. You got receivers coming in motion, coming back. It's kind of funky the first time you see it. Second time you see it, and Oregon State runs some of the similar stuff you mentioned with multiple tight ends, and now you're seeing it again. I would hope, right, that the second and third time around that you've seen something that you haven't seen all year. Not many teams run this, like Stanford back in the day, that it does become easier to adapt to that.
Yeah, I think Oregon's defense, or I would like to think that watching them last week, they've learned how to attack that, right? Because they absolutely neutralized Oregon State's running game.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I don't know if it was the worst rushing attack or worst rushing game for Oregon State, but it was definitely up there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, B.J. Baylor was held under 60 yards for the game. I mean, it was as good as I've seen the Oregon that first half against Oregon State was as good as I've seen the Oregon defense look all season.
Yeah, it's like we've seen Oregon now a couple times. You know, we've seen a couple quarters at UCLA. I think we saw three quarters at Ohio State. We saw three and a half quarters in the civil conflict of Northern aggression, as I like to call it now. You know, when Oregon's at their best, this is a really, really good team. It's just we don't know when it's going to show up.
When they're going to be at their best.
Yeah, and some of that, right, is AB, right? When he's going and they can throw the ball and they convert on third downs, and, you know, this is a really dangerous offense. I don't know what to make of Anthony Brown, because the numbers aren't horrible, and he has moments in most games. It's just it's a little inconsistent, to say the least.
Well, I think we've hit the point of the season where we know what we're going to get, and that is we have absolutely no idea what he's going to do. I mean, that we know for certain that we have no idea how he's going to play from moment to moment.
Yeah.
But that ball he threw on a full sprint to the right for a touchdown to Williams in the first quarter.
As good as any you see all year.
Unbelievable. I mean, that is exactly, I mean, you look at that and say, good Lord, why couldn't we have that all year? Because when he is good, he's good.
Yeah.
when he's not good, and when he's and for the reasons, when he's hesitating, when he's not cutting the ball loose, then things bog down significantly. And against Utah 2 weeks ago, I don't know, you know, what was the chicken or the egg? Was Oregon's inability to run the ball against that Utah front, did that create more difficult passing situations for AB? Or did Anthony Brown's inability to effectively throw the football create a one-dimensional team that then couldn't run?
Yeah. I mean, it's.
I guess I'm asking you because I don't necessarily have an answer.
I don't either. I just know when I watch Oregon's offense, everything is predicated off the run. Like, I don't believe. I think one of the reasons Joe Moorhead's leaving, I think the biggest reason is I just think no matter who your coordinator is, it's always going to be filtered through Mario Cristobal and Mastro. It just is. This is a run first sort of thing. And to me, when you can't get that going, and we've seen it this year, when it bogs down, I don't know if that just throws him off his rhythm or, again, it just puts you behind the chains and it's pressure. But, you know, we've just seen when Oregon goes through stretches where they can't run the ball, there is not an option B. There just isn't. But when you do run the ball,
and then you have option B and option C.
Yeah, and you can get into some of this RPO stuff and you can get creative and you know, it looks really sharp. It looks like a great offense, but – you know, it's all predicated to me on running the ball. I mean, you're saying
Travis Dye's 20 yard touchdown run on fourth down at the very beginning of the game set up Anthony Brown's beautiful pass to Williams.
Yes.
And
yes,
that is how they're going to win against Utah. I don't disagree with that. I'm absolutely on board with that.
I think they have to come out and establish the run and force Utah to commit extra guys. You know, and then hopefully give you some opportunities then to do some window dressing. And, you know, the pass downfield was beautiful, but we still know that's not going to be the bread and butter. The bread and butter is going to be the intermediate stuff, and it's going to be scheming people over, and like we saw at Ohio State, and taking some shots, maybe if you get some one-on-one coverage. But I just think no matter what Oregon does, they have to be able to establish the run, and they have to win on first and second down. If it's consistently third and six or beyond, Oregon won't beat many teams, and certainly not a quality team like Utah.
I don't disagree with you. Does that make for good radio, though, or bad radio? Aren't we supposed to, like, fight and, like,
throw
pencils at each other through the radio waves?
I think at this point in the season, I think it is what it is. We know what the matchups are. There's going to be some adjustments, but it's not like there can be wholesale changes. You just got to play better, flat out. And that game got away from Oregon. If you go back and look at that, there were plenty of opportunities to keep that game a game into the second half, and Oregon never made a single one of those plays, and then the backbreaker was the punt return.
I was going to say, there was an interesting play right at the end of the first half that allowed them not to get back in the second half.
It was bad. Do you think, and because I've never necessarily had this, and you know, you being a quarterback, do you think Moorhead leaving after this, do you think there's anything to that? You know, kind of being funky here. This is the last game. He's not going to coach the bowl game, it sounds like.
Do I think that he's going to get outside the box here?
Well, I don't know. Do you think that changes anything, or is that, I don't know, is that a non-factor? I mean, look, he's taken another job. He's got another job. It's just he's got one more game to play.
I don't think it'll be a factor in the preparation. I don't think it'll be a factor. You know, honestly, if guys truly love and respect this guy, I think it can be a good thing, right?
Yeah, rally the troops.
I mean, because they've all got to be they all got to be happy for him to be going and getting the head coaching job, yeah. Right? Are they disappointed he's leaving? Absolutely. What I have been, you know, I remember talking to Tedford, and he said, you know, he turned down jobs to, you know, after my junior year, to come back and, you know, so we could work together my senior year. Would I have been disappointed if he left? Absolutely. But I would have been so happy for him in the same way that I was happy that he got the head Cal job, you know, after I graduated. There's a rapport that you build. And I think guys now, especially with the way coaches leave, with the way players are transferring, there's a fluidity. Is that a word? Fluidity to college football that didn't used to exist 15, 20 years ago. And I think guys are accustomed to that more than they would have been. So I think that there's a respect and wanting to send them out on a good note.
You think Oregon gets it?
I do. I do. I think there was too much mouth punching going on 2 weeks ago not to rebound. That was, and like I said, I think that – They showed last week against Oregon State that it was an anomaly rather than getting exposed for who they truly are.
Yeah, something tells me crystal ball teams don't take punches to the mouth and stay down. It's just it's not in their DNA. I'm with you. I think they get up off the
mat. I don't know
the
why
mat.
You'd say that.
I don't know. Strikes Mario me as a little like bit of a tough guy.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah,
just
I think
maybe.
He's kind of a softy, yeah.
So we'll catch up next week. And I want to talk about that. I mean, obviously we'll talk about what happens here in the Pac-12 and title game and you know, whatever bowl game they have, whether that's the, you know, the Rose Bowl or what, the Alamo Bowl, a little bit of a difference there.
It's the Rose or Vegas, isn't it?
I think it's the Alamo is the number two. So I think it's Alamo or Rose. And then I do want to talk to you just in general about kind of the state of college football, because boy, it's a change. And so plenty to talk about, and we'll be back on our normal football Fridays next week for the first time in like, what, a month.
Sounds good, buddy.
Joey Harrington joins us every week, courtesy of BMW of Portland and Mods PDX. Club 1080 coming up next right here on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.